Amen. All those songs have been encouraging tonight, haven't they? Amen. That's why we come to church. We're encouraged. Praise the Lord. Some years back, I had noticed that we were going through a season. We had very few exhorters in the church. And I began to pray, God, send us exhorters, ministers, people that can help minister. And God began to answer prayer. And so on these Wednesday nights in the summers, when we hear from our other ministers, you're hearing from answered prayers. And you that are ministering, you're an answered prayer. You're an answered prayer. And I do appreciate these exhorters. Tonight we're going to hear, and these ministers, tonight we're going to hear from Brother Aaron, if you'd come and take your liberty. Appreciate you sharing tonight. Let's open up our hearts and hear the word of the Lord. Amen.
I don't think there's any way to say this without being a little nervous. We talked Monday to the boys and Elisha about respecting their elders, whether it was the ladies treating them as a mother or a sister, and the men as treating them as fathers, or the boys as brothers. And I said, the problem is, in this culture, in today's society, children don't respect their own family very often. But boys that call from your pastor's wife, this is where I'm going to get in trouble. I'm not going to say whether you should treat her as a mother or a sister, because that'd get me in trouble. I hope that some of you boys are able to go back there and help here in a little bit. Leviticus chapter 9, when just a few days before pastor had asked me to speak this evening, these verses were burdening my heart, and I got in trouble for this once before by somebody who told me after I finished that I focused too much, but this is going to be for the young people tonight, I hope, but as well as if it touches anybody else, then I hope it does, but my burden tonight is for our young people. Leviticus chapter 9. We're going to read a little bit here. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel, and he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goat for a sin offering and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year without blemish for a burnt offering, also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings to sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil. For today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. And Moses said unto Aaron, go unto the altar, and offer thy sin offering and thy burnt offering, and make an atonement for thyself and for the people, and offer the offering of the people, and make an atonement for them, as the Lord commanded. Aaron therefore went to the altar and slew the calf of the sin offering, which was for himself. And the sons of Aaron brought the blood unto him, and he dipped his finger in the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar, and poured out the blood at the bottom of the altar. But the fat and the kidneys and the caul above the liver of the sin offering he burnt upon the altar, as the Lord commanded Moses. And the flesh and the hide he burnt with fire without the camp, and he slew the burnt offering, and Aaron's sons presented unto him the blood, which he sprinkled round about upon the altar. And they, his sons, presented the burnt offering unto him with the pieces thereof and the head, and he burnt them upon the altar. And he did wash the inwards and the legs and burnt them upon the burnt offering on the altar. And he brought the people's offering and took the goat, which was the sin offering for the people, and slew it and offered it for sin as the first. And he brought the burnt offering and offered it according to the manner. Chapter 10. These are his sons. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. And there went out a fire from the Lord, and he devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. Heavenly Father, this evening I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. Father, that you would anoint the words that I say, touch some heart and life tonight. Make a difference in hearts tonight. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I was reading a book. And as I was reading it, it was kind of an inspirational kind of book. As I was reading it, some passages in the book struck me and stood out to me. They were taken from the Vatican, where they was there, and they started talking about the censers and the offering of the priests. And I began to dwell on those thoughts, and I felt the Lord begin to speak to my heart. And so when Pastor asked if I would speak this evening, that's the passages that came back to me. And for a few moments, young people, I would like to share with us on the smoke from your censer. We all know what a censer is, or I assume we do. It's interesting when you go look. Brother Mike was looking for these pictures for his artwork, and I told him to do a good job. That way you wouldn't notice me. But as he was looking through, there's such a diversity of different censers. And as I begin to study on some of that, I noticed that some of them are golden, some are from brass, there's bronze, there's steel, but there's also earthenware, there's clay, there's even wood. And I saw this diversity, and I recognized in each one, even in the Catholic Church, in their, and I'm not an expert on their styles of worship, but I've been to a funeral, been to the weddings, and I've seen them use them. And they have purposes, and they have they're built as to there's several chains. I think some of them even have 12 bells around the bottom. One of them is silenced because of Judas. But there's a purpose, and there's meaning behind these censers. And I thought, as I studied that those of us here in the church, we are the censers. We don't carry them anymore in our hands, at least not here, but our hearts are the censer. A censer was something that they used in a form of worship, in a form of prayer. They're still used today in many ceremonies and churches and in different religions, in fact. And the censer is used in a time of worship. They're used in different aspects. And now our hearts are that censer. Our hearts have become that which we offer up the incense to God. The question becomes, are we an acceptable censer? But that's really not the question, because we were made by God. The question is the smoke that we're offering up acceptable to him? Is what we're offering from our censer, we know that our censer, young people, is acceptable. We should know. Now, I know some people have trouble accepting maybe the way they are, their personalities. Some of us have a war within ourselves on, are we good enough? Are we doing good enough? Are we acceptable to this person or that person? But before God's eyes, when we get down in prayer, when we're worshiping here in church, what are we offering up? It's interesting when we read this passage, as we read about Aaron's sons. There's some that believe that actually, and if you look back, it was just in chapter 8, where Moses had anointed them and cleansed them. It hadn't been very long. And by chapter 9, right in the middle of all that, we saw all these offerings going on, all the sin offering. Brother, right in the middle of that, they come forth with a strange fire, with a strange offering. And there are some that believe that it was possibly because they were intoxicated. If you, we see directly after this, if we kept reading, there's some laws and some things set forth on drinking and intoxication. And some believe that possibly that they were polluted at that time. And my question to you young people tonight is, do we offer a polluted smoke before the Lord? Is our worship before Him, church, do we ever offer anything that's polluted, that's tinged by this world? I wonder if it's if we have an intoxication of pleasure sometimes. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having fun, but I don't understand the sometimes it's like our mind, people just can't come to a point of seriousness. There's no point where we can block it out and say, at this point, I'm going to settle down. At this point, I'm going to focus. Are we intoxicated with just pure pleasure? Are we intoxicated with desires, with lusts of things? You know, I was driving, and I promise I was alone, but as I was driving this afternoon, I was singing a song, and the words came, of things I've had my fill, but yet I hunger still. And no sooner did it come out than it, something struck my heart, and I thought, is that our problem? How many people today, they haven't had their fill yet of things? They may sing the song of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, but the truth is they haven't had their fill yet. They're still wanting more things. And I'm not, there's nothing wrong with having ambitions to a degree and desires to, but when the things of this world our very purpose. You know, I've tried to make it part of my daily motto to seek Him first. And all the things, not all the things that I want, but all these things that He sees necessary and okay for me to have will be added unto me. So often we try to manipulate the Scripture and we think, okay, I'm going to get out and I'm going to seek Him and check my bank account. Is it working yet? Is it working yet? But that's not really seeking Him. That's seeking something and trying to use Him. But if we seek Him first and His righteousness, these things will be added. Did they have an intoxication? Young people, do we struggle with jealousy, with bitterness, with envy? Do we tear others down just so we look bigger? What is coming from our lips? What's coming from our mouth when we're away from our parents, when we're with our friends? In fact, I've noticed even of recent years, it doesn't even matter nowadays if the parents are there. There's such a boldness our young people seem to have. There's such a, that it doesn't matter to them who hears and what they say. But what are we saying? Does God hear, does He smell a polluted smoke coming to Him? You know, if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever, you know, notice the different smells. Men, I don't know if you know that, men are more prone to smells than ladies are. We're more sensitive to smells than ladies are in a general sense. Things bug us quicker. And there is an exception to that. When my wife was expecting, we had a call where a young man had burnt himself. And as we approached, our assistant chief was running out. Wasn't your dad, Nicholas, but at that point, we had a different assistant chief. He was running out of the house as we were supposed to be going in, and he said, back in the bathroom. He just pointed, just run. And he had to get out of there. And I remember that. It's a smell that we will never forget. The burnt flesh is a smell that we will never forget. And I'm not trying to be disgusting. Forgive me if you think so. But it was at that time my wife was expecting, and she just couldn't handle it. But in general, we as men are more keen to those things. But is that a smell? Is that a recognized thing that God, is He smelling a polluted? Maybe He's smelling something disgusting coming from us as we play church, as we come in knowing what we've lived that day, knowing what we've indulged ourselves in and our flesh in through the day, knowing the kind of things that we've said, the kind of things we've talked about. Brother David, does He look at us and when we're worshiping and say, I know better? So you can fool me sometimes, but you can't fool Him. And we said, well, how do we control that? What can we do about that? And in fact, I was thinking, Brother Hurst, I had it kind of noted down already, and you said something Sunday night. Why, as Christians, has our focus turned to more of what we can get away with and still make it to heaven instead of how we can please him? That wasn't the exact words you used, but you made allusion to that. And I believe your answer was, what would Christ do, the life of Christ do? Why is it that our focus has become more on how close can we get to the world? How close, young people, do you live that? Do you search the script? Can I get away with that? Do you go to counseling? Can we do that? Is this wrong? Do you ask Brother Brian, is this really exactly sin? Why do we, I probably shared it before, but I'm reminded of a story where the rich lady was interviewing for chauffeurs, and you may remember the story. But as she had interviewed several, she was asking them, now, you see, as you go down here close to my house, there's a big ravine, there's a drop-off. How close can you safely drive to that if I'm in the back? And, of course, the first one, he could get within several feet of it. He wasn't a bit afraid. He knew that car, and he was comfortable that he could get with just in a few feet of the edge and be still keep that lady safe. And she said, okay. And the next one she asked, he was even more confident. He could get within inches, and there was no danger of him ever harming her by getting close to that. And the third one came along, and he said, ma'am, why in the world would we go that way when it's a whole lot safer to go way around? And guess who got the job? And, often with our lives, we say, how close can I skirt to the edge of sin and not quite step in? Is it really technically, or is it just sort of kind of, why do we live our lives that way? We ask about the smoke, but isn't it absurd that we can expect to put things into our sensor and not expect them to burn? Brother Brian, isn't it kind of silly to think that we can place things in there and say somehow when that fire comes, nobody's going to notice. Nobody's going to see it. But I think we can be assured that whatever's in that fire, when it begins to burn, we're going to notice a smell. I've heard the pastor say it in different episodes that, when you get to know somebody, you can see it sometimes in their eye. The joy has left. They can pretend, they can play church, but there's something that's missing in the life. There is a compulsion that we have. We were created this way. We have to fill our sensor with something. We can't, as I was studying that, my mind went to empty sensors. And I thought, that's really not even possible. We as humans, we have to fill that void with something. We can't be completely neutral, completely empty. We were created to worship. We're going to worship something if we choose not to worship God. Our focus is going to go somewhere. Our desires are going to be towards something. We can't be neutral. It's just not possible. We're going to want something. We're going to want to aim for something. And yet we think that we can get away with that. Incense is used for a variety of things. And I don't mean to be silly, but even for, it's insect repellents and there's aromatherapy. There's a spiritual side. And I thought, even in our lives, young people, if we have that smoke, if we're focusing on him and that worship, it's going to repel a few things. It's going to push a few things away. And I had another question. Why do we spend so much time guarding what comes out of our sensor and not what goes into it? We spend so much time filtering the exit, the outlet. We want to be careful what we say around certain people. We want to be careful how we act if the youth pastor's around. We try to act a little better when we're in church. We want to filter the outflow. But what would happen if we began to filter the inflow? What would happen in our lives if, my challenge is going forth for this reason. We're entering a time for our young people, they're going to youth camp. And it seems that just like I think it's pretty normal for us when I did the same thing. When we go to youth camp, we're inundated with the scripture. We're inundated with preaching. We hear teaching all day long. Everything's about God. And so it becomes easy by Thursday night to get into church and worship. It becomes easy to, you know, everybody else is going down and to become part of it. It starts to finally creep in. And by Friday night, we're riding high spiritually. We're feeling good. And we come home. I'd say even us adults have felt that. Sunday, we think that we could take on the world. We're not a bit afraid of every demon in hell. We're ready for it, and Monday morning, we're not. We're all charged up and ready to go Sunday night. We think, you know, devil, come in and get us. There's nothing you can do to me now. And we wake up Monday morning, and life's the same as it was last week. We're going through the same trials and the same troubles. And young people, we're not ignorant. You've got your struggles as well. You've got your trials. You've got your issues you're facing. You've got your struggles that you think nobody knows about, nobody cares about. Brian, you said something the other night. And when I was reading verse 3, it said, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. And I believe it was maybe in the meeting over here, he was talking to the young people. And when you go to camp and put on your roadie shirt, it's true, you're representing your church, you're representing your youth pastor, you're representing your pastor, but more importantly, you're representing God. You're telling everybody in the world, this is who I am. As you wear that out in public, you're declaring, I am part of this. When you tell people, you know, where you go to church, you're telling them this is what. And he said, I'm going to be sanctified in them that come nigh unto me. And so we come to the final question I have. Where did they get the fire? Talked about a strange fire. And maybe tonight, music, if you could come. Maybe tonight you're sitting here listening and you think it's too late. I've already put too many foreign things in my censer. I've already filled my life with things and I feel like it's too late. I've just got to keep pretending and keep going on and keep pushing on because I don't know how to get away from this. But you know, that same fire that was lit in or under the censer that sent that incense, that same fire can come in and purge out the chaff and the filth and clean that censer. You know, those things that are in there, they're already there. But you can't get them out on your own. We can't just, you know, I dare say we've all been there. I know I have, where we thought, you know, I can fix this on my own. I've got to get this taken care of. I promise I'll never do this again. And we can't do it. But he can. We can't do it on our own, church. Young people, you can't overcome the temptations. You can't overcome the difficulties and the problems. When you go to youth camp next week, you're going to feel like you've got it whipped. But the truth is, it starts tomorrow morning. Tonight, you may come to the altars and you may say, you may pray through and say, I've got this. But by tomorrow, you're going to face the same situations. If we could bow our heads for just a moment. Heavenly Father, if you could take these feeble words and speak to a heart and a life this evening. We know that we face challenges. We know that we're facing difficulties, both young and old alike. God, as our worship and our praises and our prayers go up, Father, that they be not tainted with the sins of the day, that we could learn to live pure and holy before you. Father, that unlike these sons of Aaron that were killed by the fire because of coming before you with a strange and common fire, we let that fire burned the chaff out of us, Father, that we would throw ourselves upon the rock and be broken before the rock crushes us. Father, we ask you tonight to deal with hearts and lives of our young people. And give us strength, Father, for each day. As these trials we face come, that you would be there to lift us up, to put your arms around us, and to walk us through these times, Father. Church, if we could come this evening and find a place, let's search our hearts. Let's search our own lives this evening.